The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show. Tom, I see that you are ready for St. Patrick's Day. You are all decked out in green.
Indeed, it is time for the wearing of the green.
You betcha. Well, the town has sort of a collective downer going on right now, but now that the cats are out of it, I have my Chicago roots, and I'm pulling for those Loyola Ramblers, who won the whole thing back in 1963, when I was just a kid growing up in Chicagoland. I remember that pretty darn well. And the Ramblers winning on that exciting last second, I think a three-pointer against Miami. So we'll see how it all plays out. It is Friday, March the 16th, 2018. We are coming to you from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Of course, the program on Friday re-airs on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. A big shout-out to our media partners who support us, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Sol Rita Sun, the Tucson Media Group, which includes Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, The Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Other media partners include the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, Democrat Tom O'Halloran, United States Representative from Arizona's 1st Congressional District, which is, I believe, if not the biggest, one of the biggest districts in the United States, sprawling from the northwest sections of the Tucson Valley all the way up to the Utah border. Congressman O'Halloran will be also joining in our conversation today. We have Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor of the Arizona Daily Star. She also writes a column for the Star. Sarah is also on the live line today. Sarah, how are you?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Recovering from the game?
Enough
said, not, right? Congressman O'Halloran, how are you, sir?
Bill, I'm doing great. Hi, sir. And it was a last-second tip-in by Loyola.
Were you a Chicago police officer at one time, correct?
I was. I spent 15 years almost on the police department in Chicago.
Were you in Chicago at the time of Loyola's win in the 1960s?
I was in high school.
We have some kind of a weird phone line going on, Congressman. Could you call us right back, please? Because right now we're getting some kind of an echo.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Sarah, while we're waiting for the congressman to call us back, the editorial in the Star saying it's time for TUSD to end that DSAG case. Could you briefly touch on that, please?
Sure. Our editorial coming out of the report from the special master, Hawley, who was reporting to the federal court about TUSD's progress on efforts to desegregate and provide equal opportunity educationally for all students, came out within the past couple weeks. And our take on it is that, yes, there are still things that need to be improved. Educational opportunity is not equal, but within the district, and that obviously needs to keep going, but the efforts need to keep going. But also at the same time, this case is 40-some years old, and it's time to continue efforts that have been agreed to with the plaintiffs in the case, and not try to switch horses in the middle of the ride, so to speak, and take it in different directions. It's something that the district has lived with. I mean, two generations of a family, if not three, could have been gone through the whole district K-12. In the time that the district has been under this federal desegregation order, there's a lot of money tied up in it. there's a lot of ownership of programs and people's careers invested in it, but it really is time to do what needs to be done and wrap up that court supervision.
All right. We have Congressman Tom O'Halloran back with us. Congressman, what should be done about school safety and perhaps firearms in the classroom, sir?
Well, I think for the immediate future, we need to get more police at our schools to make sure that the entire area is covered. This idea that we're going to study it while our students are at risk it doesn't make any sense to me at all. I am not in favor of teachers having guns in the classroom. I worked against that while I was in the Arizona legislature. And so I think that we need to do away with these things like bump stocks. We need to identify clearly that the background checks are universal across the board. And we also need to make sure that we understand what violence is doing to America and how we address these issues long term.
Do you think there will be some changes to our firearms laws out of this Congress?
I have not been overly optimistic as far as what the leadership has been thinking about. They haven't been bringing anything to the floor yet, and we're a number of weeks from this strategy, and obviously years away from when Sandy Hook occurred. So it doesn't appear that our leadership in Congress wants to address these issues immediately, and that concerns me greatly.
All right, let's bring Sarah Garrett Gasson in from the Star.
Hi, Congressman. I wanted to know if in the halls of Congress, people you're talking to, if the presence of the students from Parkland, Florida, and other school shootings, if how they are regarded, if they are seen as legitimate people with a serious issue to talk about, or I know there's been bizarre conspiracy theories and kind of trying to dismiss the students as just being overly emotional because they got shot at. So what are people thinking about? How are the students received, and are they being considered as people with a cause?
Well, of course they have a cause. They saw their fellow students murdered in their own schools, 17 of them. Just like the parents in Sandy Hook and the parents of these latest victims and the parents of the people of Las Vegas and the families in Las Vegas. These are concerns that shouldn't be just with those families, but of all of America. And we have to find a way to address these issues. I'm a former homicide detective from the city of Chicago, and I realize fully the implications of this. I'm one of those people that had to go to knock on the door and tell parents their child was just shot in the street and murdered. And so these are devastating things, they're obviously for the victim, whether they're dead or whether they've been shot to a level where they're going to suffer the rest of their lives. But these families are also going to suffer for the rest of their lives. And so this is an issue in a free society that we have to address. I'm a Second Amendment advocate, but murder on the streets of our cities, our children should be able to walk in their streets and go to their schools in safety, and we need to provide that for them.
Are your colleagues taking them seriously, do you think?
I think that we're very delayed in addressing these issues, and that we need to address them much faster. We need to make sure our students are safe now. As I said to Bill, I can't imagine why we haven't just said another police officer or two more police officers. If there's 3,000 students in a school, they need to be assigned there until the administration and others get this thing worked out where our schools are safe and construct it in a proper way that that's harder for people to get into those environments and do damage to our children's lives.
All right. One of our callers wanted to know, and I'll relay this question, with limited number of police available, how can we assign police officers to every school?
Well, we do to a lot of schools right now, and quite frankly, a part of a police officer's job is to serve and protect. And we're not right now doing if we have 17 students killed in an area, and that is not protecting at the level we should be protecting. That area probably had no more than a few homicides a year for a long time. And all of a sudden, there's 17. Las Vegas might not have 50 or 100 homicides a year, and yet you had dozens of people killed in one incident. This is a matter of protecting, and if our innocent children can't be protected, then our country needs to face the reality that we need to do more.
All right, why don't we take a quick break here? We'll have Congressman O'Halloran with us for the second portion of our Friday Focus interview. Sarah Garrett Gasson also with us on the live line. We'll be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We have United States Representative Tom O'Halloran, Democrat from Arizona's District Number 1 with us on the live line from Washington. And we also have Sarah Garrett Gasson with us on the live line. I believe she's over at the University of Arizona today. Sarah is the editorial page editor at the Arizona, Capital Times. That's coming up at 12:30. She is the editorial page editor and columnist at the Arizona Daily Star. And Congressman, with a name like O'Halloran, you must be always excited about St. Patrick's Day, which in our home area of Chicagoland was always a big deal. Do you do any special traditions?
Well, as a congressman, I'm going to be in parades. I'll be at a couple of events and making sure my heritage is well represented.
I have a question coming in on Facebook. This is from David. What does the congressman think of the Resolution copper mine, which would be the largest open pit mine, but it is on Native sacred grounds? What do you think of that?
I've been working with both sides on making sure there's an open and transparent process in the NEPA review. We'll see what the outcome of that NEPA review reveals and go from there. But until then, there's not much that can be done that I can foresee in the current environment to address that issue until we know the facts of from the perspective of a transparent and open process that I hope will occur.
Sarah, go ahead.
I'm wondering, with the budget and the federal budget, I know you've spoken before about how it would impact the cuts to rural Arizona in particular. What do you think is the most onerous part of this proposed Trump budget, and how it would affect folks in your district?
Well, the first part of the budget eliminates many of the programs that are relevant to infrastructure in rural America and at rural Arizona, obviously. Community development block grants, tiger grants for transportation, water and sewer projects, all of them would be eliminated under the president's program and transferred over to the proposed infrastructure program of $200 billion over 10 years by the federal government. But most importantly, a competitive environment where the rest of our governments, local, state, and county, would have to take on the burden of financing the additional $1.3 trillion. So it's not a federal program. This is a shift in making sure that states and their taxpayers pay a higher rate. So the current proposal is not doable under the current process, because I've talked to the leaders, and they have been explicit in saying they feel that this leverage will be able to be made up in the bonding markets. That means more cost to our taxpayers, less ability of rural America to be participants, and in the long run, they've tried to use the suggestion that, well, local people pay more now than the federal government, and they do. But guess what? The federal government pays more now than they would under this program, and we also have to keep up with the maintenance we have ongoing, maintenance and operations. So this idea that the leverage is there to create an environment of finding $1.5 trillion is just not realistic, and I think they're coming to that realization.
Going back real quick,
let me say this, though, too. You know, there was a $1.5 trillion cut in taxes. Now, I would have loved to have voted for that, but they forgot the middle class, and now they started out with $1.5 trillion that was going to get paid off, and now it's up to $1.8 trillion by the administration's estimate. That's not going to get paid off. And so we have some real core issues here as it relates to how budgeting should occur in Congress, and do we do a cut prior to knowing how much we have to spend.
So if we could go back real quick to our previous discussion before the break about gun safety and legislation. Mm-hmm. You're talking about having more police officers, sworn officers in schools. Do you see that as something that the federal government would pick up the tab for, or would that be a local responsibility?
Well, I think to get it done immediately, we have to have the federal government start the process. I think over time, what we have to do is take a comprehensive view of what needs to be done. But I'm not willing to allow our children in America and in Arizona to be not protected during that time period of time. It is unacceptable that we continue as a great nation that we are to have these types of incidents occur and children to be put at risk. When I'm a parent, my child goes out that front door in America, we shouldn't have to be in fear if they'll come back or not.
And we do. We have another question related to guns on campus, and the question is from caller Sheldon, who wants to know, shouldn't law enforcement intervene when they have information about a possible shooter, someone that is suspected of making widespread threats through social media and other ways? Congressman, your response, please.
Well, those types of threats are, if there's any backup to them, are an assault threat, and that can be taken action on. I am on co-sponsor on a bill that would, when it comes to other issues, that law enforcement, with the approval of a judge, can immediately, for a temporary time, take guns away from somebody like that, or somebody that's has some mental health issues, if they are in a threatening position to others in our society, but only through a probable cause.
All right. We saw quite a bit of erosion in the Pennsylvania special election, erosion of President Trump's previous support in that district in Pennsylvania. President Trump won that district, I believe, by 20 percentage points. Do you sense that kind of erosion in your district, CD1, which has it's always been a competitive district, and there are some rural areas that were big Trump supporters? Do you see some erosion?
Well, the president won this district by 1.5 percentage points. I did 5 percentage points better. I think that there has been slight erosion, but not a tremendous amount. I think a lot of people are sitting back trying to see what's going to happen when reality starts to hit some of the programs moving forward. You know, I've been supportive of national defense issues. But on these issues that are relevant on taxes and budget and some of the other areas, we're going to add on $3 trillion plus of debt in just one year, and that's a record setting pace. And we're really not in any major war right now, as we had been over the last 10 years or so.
All right, Sarah, there's time for a question from you.
Going forward into the rest of the spring and then into the summer, what do you think what's the top issue other than the budget and guns that's coming up that you're hearing about from your constituents?
Well, we have a farm bill that right now is we'd like to see a bipartisan farm bill. That doesn't look like it's doable, at least right now. We have to resolve the budget. We're going to, it looks like, do another continuing resolution because we can't find commonality on the budget as we thought we were going to be able to get at this point. We have until the end of the 23rd of next week, and then we're either going to have to hopefully do a continuing resolution because I don't think there'll be a budget agreement. We have huge problems on world trade, export import issues. Issues with making sure our economy gets meaningful, stays out of a recession and has a meaningful growth pattern. And all of these are on the docket. And yet, because it's an election year, your Congress is going to be off for most of the time between now and Election Day. All of August, last week of July, first week of September, most of October. I mean, there must be something wrong in my mind because it feels like it's more important for us to be out there campaigning than it is to address the issues of the American people.
All right. I want to quickly ask you about the transfer of the Apache helicopters. This is an economic issue for Marana and for our area. Are they still going to be transferred out of the Marana or Pinal County or the Pinal Air Park in Marana?
At this point, there is a letter out saying that they'd be transferred out on March 31st. But General McGuire from the National Guard and I and the colonel that's in charge of the facility down there, and also we met with the Army yesterday. We've met with them a few other times. We've gotten documents now that help us identify the problem, and I think we're all trying to work this out, and we're hopeful that something can occur. If not, it wasn't for lack of an effort on the part of people over a number of years to get the federal government to understand that readiness means readiness of our standing Army and our National Guard, not just the standing Army, because I'm on the Armed Services Committee. I was told that we were going to work for an increase in budget so everybody we'd have a readiness issue. And readiness today in this day and era means both the standing military and the National Guard. They have to work as one. And you can't do that with taking battalions of helicopters out to allow the standing Army to be ready and lose all these pilots in the National Guard. We are short of pilots already. We can't afford to do that. So that's the discussions we're going to continue having over the next 2 weeks.
All right, Congressman Tom O'Halloran, thank you, sir, for joining us. And Sarah Garrett-Gasson, thank you as well. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Happy St. Patrick. Happy St. Patrick's Day, especially
to you,
okay, to the congressman. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's, has joined us, one of our new partners. So happy to have Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, on board. Like many of our sponsors and partners, I support these people very much. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do a lovely job with their European baked goods, the breads, the pastries, the cakes. Oh, those brownies. I could eat them day and night, and I gain about probably 100 pounds, but I have to watch myself. They're now open for lunch. Have a sandwich on that beautiful baked bread that they do up there. Monish Danish Bakery. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. Coming up after our break, we're going to get a legislative update. We will speak with Luigi Del Puerto. Luigi is the Arizona News Service editor at the Arizona Capital Times. That's coming up after the mid-show break. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Still time to donate to your favorite nonprofit through the Arizona Tax Credit. We'll tell you about it during the noon hour on Monday on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition. It is our roundtable portion of the program today, and it will be me speaking with Luigi Del Puerto. Always look forward to our conversations with Luigi. He is the Arizona News Service editor at the highly regarded, award-winning Arizona Capital Times, based up in the capital, of course, up in Phoenix. Luigi, how are you, sir?
Good. It's a beautiful Friday. It was a beautiful Thursday yesterday, so I guess enjoy it. It's not going to last.
Yeah, the heat will be coming very soon as we push actually up into the upper 80s, perhaps within a couple of weeks. Anyway, we just had a very interesting conversation, Luigi, with the District 1 Congressman, Tom O'Halloran, the Democrat representing that huge district that sprawls pretty much from Marana, Oro Valley area here in southern Arizona, all the way up to the Utah border. And he has some very strong views on gun control, Luigi. Congressman O'Halloran is a former homicide detective in the city of Chicago. He is advocating putting police officers, city officers, in each school in the United States. And when Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star asked him, well, who's going to pay for it, he says initially this should be a federal responsibility. And I see, Luigi, the governor is now saying he will support laws to disarm the dangerous. Can you kind of bring us up to date on what the governor said yesterday?
Yeah, so, the issue of school safety is a very big issue in the state, at the state capitol. The governor has been meeting with stakeholders, primarily teachers, parents, and those groups. He has not met with the NRA or gun rights groups in the state, and those gun rights organizations, in fact, have complained this week that they have been left out. So the governor, a couple things first. Let me backtrack a bit. So the governor has expressed a great deal of interest in doing something on the school safety side. Now, he's very careful not to phrase it as a gun control proposal, but a school safety proposal. Among the things he has said is that he's open to some sort of a background check. We're not sure exactly to what extent that might be. As for the idea of arming teachers, he is opposed to that. He has said he wants the teachers to focus on teaching and not on you know, having to worry because there's a gun in the classroom. There is a lot of talk about tackling this issue or approaching it from the angle of mental health. I think that is something that probably will get bipartisan buy-in. You know, the governor, for example, has said he is open to some kind of a stop order or hold order in which a person who his friends or his family members feel that he could be a threat or might pose a threat, then there could be some kind of a judicial process in which his weapons are taken away from him. The governor has expressed support for that. The thing is, we're still waiting. We think that the governor has made indications that we might actually see something more concrete from his end this coming week. And so we're all anticipating what those proposals might look like.
And we had House Bill 2140 from Dr. Randy Fries, Representative Fries from the Tucson area. That bill would allow an immediate family member, Luigi, or a police officer to seek a court order prohibiting someone from possessing a firearm. Has the governor said he will support that?
Well, not specifically that bill, but he has supported the idea. He has come out saying this is something that we could possibly do. Now, those proposals, by the way, have been around for quite some time, and those proposals have never moved in the legislature, as you know. And if I'm not mistaken, they haven't even been heard in committee this year. But the governor has expressed support for a proposal that approaches this issue the same way. So we might, in fact, get some traction on this particular approach to, school safety.
Well, I believe that the Democratic members in the House and Senate stood for, was it 17 minutes of silence this week to honor the victims of the Parkland shooting. Is it true, though, that the Republican members were not in the chambers or walked out of the chambers? What was the story on that, Luigi?
So one of our reporters, Polina, was there, and they did call for 17 minutes of silence. And Speaker Mesnard said, we're going to do a moment of silence, which is something that the legislature has done on occasions when it's warranted, and he said, we're going to do that. We're just not going to do 17 minutes. And what happened was the Democrats said insisted that they should do 17 minutes, and so Mesnard called for a recess, and then so the Democrats then stood for 17 minutes. So they went through, and basically it was a way for Mesnard to allow them to stand for 17 minutes by calling for a recess. The walkout happened when they were introducing the students and the teachers that had come to the Capitol and are demanding for action on this issue. Our reporter counted as many as only 32 people who had stayed in on the floor. As you know, there are 60 members, so pretty much half of the legislators were not on the floor, majority of those who had stayed on the floor were Democrats.
We're speaking with Luigi Del Porto. Luigi is the Arizona News Service editor at the highly respected Arizona Capital Times. This just came across my feed here, Luigi. The University of Arizona today proposed a 2% increase in tuition and no increase in fees for incoming students. The Arizona Board of Regents has scheduled a public hearing Tuesday, March 27th, to discuss these tuition recommendations made by the three state universities. Now, in the past, the legislature has been kind of critical over these tuition increases, especially at the University of Arizona. Isn't that correct?
Yes, lawmakers have not been only critical of this tuition fee increase. They have, in fact, tried to legislate their way into sort of stopping or freezing these tuition fee hikes that we have seen, over the past decade. Those proposals have not gone anywhere. I think the regions have very effective lobbyists down at the Capitol. But yes, there is ongoing tension because lawmakers, they say, look, you know, we understand we've cut your budget, but you've raised your tuition by pretty high amounts or by pretty high rates. And in fact, as you know, Mark Brnovich, the Attorney General, had complained about it. And I believe there's an ongoing case over those tuition fee increases and whether they're constitutional or not.
What are the big issues that still have to be resolved in this legislative session, Luigi?
There are a lot. Number one, of course, is the budget. Right now, the House is going through what's a process in which they've asked the Appropriations Chairman and then the head of sub appropriations committees to meet and then craft the sort of the framework for their budget. So they're going through that. And then at the same time, I understand that they're having conversations with their Senate counterparts. So we have not seen a negotiation yet between the governor and lawmakers over the budget. So that's one thing that's hanging. Water legislation is another big thing. And, as I mentioned last time I was on a show, it is a pretty big subject. And the governor has a pretty ambitious plan that he's pushing for in the legislature, and there has been pushback. And so we haven't seen a resolution to this one yet. And there is some sentiment that if we see a water proposal go through and get signed by the governor, it might be something that would be quite small in scale, meaning it wouldn't be as ambitious as what the governor had envisioned.
That was one of the big issues. I know the governor had said that water would be one of the three big issues. Could you give us, in a nutshell, what we're talking about here?
So the governor, so we're in a drought situation for many, many years now. The governor wants to do something to ensure that the water levels at Lake Mead do not go down certain thresholds that would trigger like drastic reductions in allocations to Arizona. Should that happen, we're screwed if that happen. So the governor wants to do something more aggressive. And one of the controversial things he is saying is basically give the director of ADWR authority to decide a lot of these matters and for CAP to sort of, to in a way give up control of some of their authorities over water allocation. And obviously, what did he say about water in the Southwest? And whiskey is for drinking water, water is for fighting. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. So it's we have very big stakeholders, very big water players, and the governor has laid out a very big water agenda, and that water agenda would take away some of the control, for example, from the Central Arizona Project and the district that manages the CAP. And so that is, in a nutshell, what we're facing. Of course, the idea is that we need to do something internally so that when we negotiate with the other basin states, California, Nevada, in New Mexico, over what to do with water in Lake Mead, that we would be we would present a unified voice, and we would be on a very strong footing going into these negotiations.
The Rio Nuevo district here in southern Arizona, it looks like it will be reallocated. Have you followed that at all, Luigi?
You know what? I have not, unfortunately. I know that there are two big issues with water, right? One is that the excess, so-called quote-unquote excess water, or from the CAP canal, and then groundwater, which is another big thing that they're saying we need some sort of a framework how to tackle groundwater, but unfortunately I haven't really followed the Nuevo's district allocation.
All right, Luigi Del Porto, what do you think the wrap-up will be? End of April, as some had said. I know we had the speaker on the program about a month ago, and he was hoping the end of April, but it sounds like there's a lot of work to be done here.
Yeah, there is a lot of work to be done, but what always happens each year is that once they get the budget out, and if, for example, they get the budget out in middle of March, then the last 2 weeks will be spent passing other proposals, and there will be no intention or no willingness, if you will, on the part of legislators to stay at the Capitol for beyond the end of April if they get a budget out middle of March, for example, because it's election year.
Oh yeah,
they want to go out and start their campaigns, and so end of April it probably is a pretty if you were to bet,
that would probably be a pretty
safe time frame.
All right, Luigi Del Porto, thank you very much, Luigi, for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks a lot. Luigi is the Arizona Capital Times editor, and always very knowledgeable on legislative matters. Matt Russell, he'll be wearing the green, I'm sure. We're going to find out. Weekend Watch, St. Patrick's Day edition on Buckmaster right after this. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona is moving to 635 West Roger Road. Our new home is almost done. We'll have a pet-friendly cafe, awesomely cool cat habitats, lots of play yards for our dogs, and a state-of-the-art clinic, and much more. We're caring for your new best friend until you find them at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Come visit us at 635 West Roger Road this spring and fall in love all over again. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Weekend Watch, St. Patrick's Day edition, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great weekend getaway, or even longer, just a three-hour drive to Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org, a great starting place to check out a lovely environment, the complete listing of the many very fine places to stay, and the great recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Now, here he is, wearing the green, Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, all decked out. He's even got a little green derby hat on today.
Yeah, I tell you what, the leprechaun suit is a little tighter this year than it was last year. I'm going to have to work on that.
Over the 7-year history of our radio program, that suit, you kept letting it out, and now it's gone now. So where do we begin? Any green beer in town?
Yeah, you know, celebrating the patron saint of Ireland is more than just a regionally inspired food and beverage. It's all about the outdoor fun and games that go along with the festivities. And at the Arizona Beer House on Broadway and Kolb, they're going to be featuring traditional Celtic games starting at noon on Saturday, including a 54-foot inflatable obstacle course. Some folks from the Tucson Celtic Festival are going to be on hand as well to lead the fun. And, of course, there'll be plenty of Irish green beer and food from local trucks like the Green Fairy Pastries. It's time to get your Irish game on tomorrow at the Arizona Beer House.
I hope it's not an inflatable obstacle course. Please don't bring any sharp objects. What's this about green donuts? That sounds tempting.
Absolutely. Downtown's Batch Cafe and Bar will be the place to be tomorrow for Irish donuts. And these are green donuts, of course. And they might be nice companions for some bowls of boozy Lucky Charms cereal. Now, check it out. A little whiskey mixed with the milk will give your cereal a little extra boost. Now, there's also going to be specials on corned beef sandwiches and Irish whiskeys, too, along with live music, which I think will round out the St. Patrick's Day celebration in style at Batch.
Hey, what's going on at Hotel Congress?
It is one of the biggest St. Patty's Day party of the year. Hotel Congress, deep discounts on Irish beers and spirits, corned beef, activities for the kids and local bands, but their Guinness cheese soup is making its annual return, a bowl of rich, cheesy goodness with some Guinness Irish stout stirred in to give it a toasty and roasty backbone, and I think that'll be a perfect pairing, Bill, for their shepherd's pie.
And
Hotel Congress.
Hey, boy, you got to cut through that cheesy group to get to the broth. It sounds so delicious. And in the Inside Tucson Business column.
Yes, National Sloppy Joe Day.
Oh, I love Sloppy Joes.
Yeah, it's always the day after St. Patty's Day And two local chefs recently shared some ideas with me for some delicious variations on the sloppy Joe theme. You can find those sloppy stories in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a good one, Matt. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Bill.
Yeah, and on a serious note, we've been kind of joking around a lot. A lot of people associate St. Patrick's Day with a few drinks. Law enforcement's going to be out in force this weekend. Those DUI convictions stay on people's records. We would hate to see that happen. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content. The views expressed on our program, solely those of me, Bill Buckmaster, and not necessarily the views of the sponsors of our fine radio program. And some of those views are not necessarily my views as well, I should point out. Original theme music courtesy of Christophan, Rosemary Brandt, my assistant. Thanks, Rose, all the fine people here at KVOI, including Tom Fairbanks, my producer, engineer, and really the whole staff here does a great job in their support of my work on Buckmaster. Have a great and a very safe weekend.